Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start today with a tale of two schools. One closed and then just reopened after nearly four dozen students tested positive for COVID. The other went mask-free for 3 weeks without an increase in cases. So how can both be happening in the same state? WBUR's education reporter Carrie Young has been following both, joins us now in Studio 3. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi, Tiziana.
Great to have you here. So starting with the latest, the first was the Curley School in Jamaica Plain, back in session 12 days after the district closed it following a COVID-19 outbreak. I understand first day back open was yesterday, Monday. How did that go?
From what I understand, the first day back went pretty well. I asked the Boston Teachers Union what they had heard from their staff, and here's how Union Vice President Eric Berg described it to me.
Sounds like attendance is good, and people seem generally like things have gone well.
And Berg adds, you know, it is a little bit early to tell how things are going with COVID mitigation. It's only been 2 days in class, but so far, so good.
So on school days during the closure, Carrie, students learned remotely 7 school days. The state is only going to count 3 of those towards the required 180 days of learning this year. Why?
Yeah, you know, it's not entirely clear, really. The official answer from the Education Commissioner, Jeff Riley, was that he believed that Boston Public Schools could have avoided the situation, potentially, if they were just a little bit better about following state guidance. His official response was noticeably pointed to, saying that while yes, it is possible that this cluster of cases spread so fast that BPS couldn't contain it, he added, though, that, quote, we are left to wonder if the whole school closure could have been avoided if the progressive interventions recommended by DESE were implemented last week, end quote. And Riley did go on to say that there are other things that BPS could have done, like classroom or grade-level quarantining, that could have made a difference, but we don't quite know at this point. I guess it's hindsight. I think another thing at play to keep in mind is that Governor Baker's administration has put a high priority on in-person learning here. So that might explain why the state is taking such a hard line right now.
And that hard line has been a particular sore spot, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's this hard line on that policy. And then also Commissioner Riley's harsh response, it didn't really help. And that also got a lot of criticism. The Boston Teachers Union called it bizarre, and other teachers and parents have taken issue with the tone, too. One parent from the Curley School even created a change.org petition. And a lot of the signers, there were more than 2,000, commented that they felt that the state was kind of playing politics here.
So we talked with a Curley parent last week who didn't support the state's pushback on those remote learning days, but also felt that the Boston Public Schools and the school itself needed to improve communication. And as I understand it, the school did change some communication protocols in case of another outbreak. So is that true? And what are those changes?
Yeah, that is true. The Boston Public Schools is choosing now to talk to community members about a positive case right when they find out about it. In the past, they had been waiting until contact tracing was done, so only the close contacts would find out, and then they would tell the rest of the community. Now, it's as soon as they find out.
So we said at the top that this was a tale about two schools. So let's go to the other school now, which is in Hopkinton. We talk about COVID and schools. Masks are a huge piece of that conversation. They've been controversial in classrooms since the start of the year. I noticed you covered this. In Hopkinton, the high school there went mask-free for the first 3 weeks of November. It was a pilot, and cases didn't go up. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I think the big difference happening between these schools is that the Curley K-8 is an elementary school, and Hopkinton High School is it's a high school. And the difference is vaccinations. Hopkinton High School, those kids have been eligible for a really long time for their vaccinations, and that vaccination rate is 98%. That is
That's a high rate. Yeah.
That is a high rate, even for Massachusetts. And it's funny, when you talk to the town's health director, Sean McAuliffe, about this, he kind of takes it as a point of pride.
I don't know if a 54-year-old is allowed to say we killed it, but we killed it.
I mean, I think when he was describing to me what it took to get there, that pride is well deserved. His department, you know, visited people at their workplaces. They ran advertisements and everything in between. So, you know, the vaccination rate shows all of that work.
So what are students and residents saying about the 3-week experiment?
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's a political issue, mask wearing. And that was definitely the case when it came to implementing this. The policy got mixed response on the school committee level first, and school committee members I spoke to said that the town was so deeply divided. There were some people who just were mad, and you know that the school committee hadn't entertained the idea yet that it took this long, and other people were mad that they were even entertaining the idea. And then, you know, when you talk to the students, too, those opinions also varied almost just as much. When I stopped by the high school, which was about halfway through this trial period earlier this month, there were still some students who said that they were opposed to this mask optional idea. But one thing that was interesting was the consistency with some of the other parts of their responses. And that's that, you know, almost everyone I talked to said that this trial has been kind of a morale boost. And here's how Senior Owen Schnorr described that.
A lot has surprised me. I think that how much has changed that we didn't even notice while we were wearing masks. Like, for example, like teachers, like we can't see their facial expressions, and that changes so much of teaching, which I didn't know that I would know until after. Like, for example, like, it's much more engaging when you feel like you have more of a connection with the teacher when you can see their facial expressions and see their almost emotion towards what they're teaching.
And yeah, like I was saying earlier, Schnorr isn't alone here. He was pro mask policy trial, I mean. But even the students who were against it, or even students who couldn't take their mask off because they weren't vaccinated yet, they all just really appreciated having that opportunity to see at least a few more full faces during their school day.
So at this point, 18 school districts have applied for these waivers so that they can go temporarily mask-free. 11 of those waivers have been granted. Is this where we're going? Do you think more districts will apply and get the waivers granted?
I think so. More districts will apply and are applying for this. It's a two-step process, though. So part of it is applying to the state to even vote on that as a school committee. I think the harder part, the more political part here, is going to be passing it on the school committee level, which is why I think we're not seeing a wave of schools doing this right now. I think a lot of schools are kind of waiting to see what happens in Hopkinton to see what studies have come out about spread, if it did lead to things down the road, and then we might start to see more of a wave.
So we are one Commonwealth. How can both of these stories be playing out in schools at the same time?
It's hard to say for sure, but what public health officials are telling me is the difference is vaccines.
Yeah. So one other thing. We know the issues in the Crowley School situation. One issue was access to sufficient testing, especially as the cases surged. Is there a statewide approach to to testing, or is it sort of in school, by school? You know, where are we?
Somewhere in the middle. So the state does have recommendations, but there isn't a statewide policy or mandate, so to speak. Testing is kind of one of those areas where the state is deferring to local control here. But I do think you bring up a good point about capacity. There are capacity issues on several parts of this process. It's not having just the tests themselves. It's having the capacity among the people delivering the tests, like school nurses. They are already overwhelmed with a lot more on their plates because of COVID this year. Testing is just one of them.
Okay, so what do you watch, let's say, between now and the new year?
Yeah, I think the theme I'm seeing coming up more and more is vaccines. We've said that a lot today. And so I think it'll be interesting to see what happens among elementary schools and the spread of COVID there. Once more younger kids can get vaccinated, curious to see what happens to that rate.
All right, that is WBUR education reporter Carrie Young. Carrie, thanks.
You're welcome.